That's another very good question.
He knows the swat he asked, did.
His feet is kind of getting
on. Just swat.
All right, so this week's big question, of course, it's around religion and relationships. Gun religion.
Religion. I don't know even what accent that was.
Okay. Gun religion save relationships. Or the B question to that question is, how important is religion when it comes to picking partners, choosing relationships, right? Now, before we jump into the big question, I want to do the poll of the week. And it's actually related to the big question, so I thought it would be a very good place to start. Okie dokie, so poll of the week, guys, right? So the question of the poll was, what's the key to a successful marriage, right? A lot of options were given, but I'm just going to pick the four, right? So did people choose having shared interests, sharing household chores, shared religious beliefs, or a satisfying sexual relationship? So what's the key to a successful marriage? Having shared interests, sharing household chores, shared religion beliefs, or having a satisfying sexual relationship? So firstly, I want to know what you guys think out of the four. And then, of course, we'll go to what you think the poll said and points out for grabs today. Remember, our point system has started. So what do you think?
I think it's shared interests on the list that's been given. But I feel like the public chose satisfying sexual life, whatever it is, the fourth one.
Oh, okay. I thought the public would have chosen shared interests. And I think shared interests.
Okay, so you think the public went shared interests, and you also think the key to successful marriage is shared interests, okay?
I think the public could have gone for sex. Let's have sex, baby. Anyway.
Carry on. Yes. Thank you for that.
You know, I had so many different songs I could have sang, but when you came to me, that was the one that was in my head.
Yeah.
I would choose shared religious beliefs.
Ooh. Okay. All right. So.
Wait. No. You. Oh, okay. I thought you.
Can I explain why, or is it just pick one and roll with it?
Go on. Hit us. Why?
Because for shared religious beliefs, because I think that covers, depending on what your religion is, that covers all the rest.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Okay. That's a good argument.
No, you can't change your mind.
I'm sticking with mine, shared interests, because obviously we're talking about the public.
No, this was my personal view. Yeah, the public one, I didn't vote that. I voted sex.
Oh, that was your personal one. Yeah. Fine. I'm explaining my ones to say that I picked shared interest simply because I feel like in these modern times, I feel like people can... You can leave going to different religions, I think, under the same roof. What was the other one?
Shared household chores.
This is successfully, so can you think under this?
Yeah, but then I wouldn't want to go into what do they mean success. I would say that as long as you don't deserve divorce, you know, and you're somewhat happy, I would assume that's what they mean by successful marriage. Because unsuccess would be unhappiness and divorce. So you can, you know, I definitely know of marriages that are in complete harmony, you know, as far as the world is concerned, as far as we are concerned, as far as they are concerned, yet someone goes to this church, another one goes to that church, you know? But shared interests, I feel like on shared interests, that's what grows the relationship. That's what makes you guys continue to bond over time. I feel like if you grow too far apart, that could then lead to you eventually becoming strangers, because it's like now you're no longer in each other's space. Like one wants to go do this, another wants to go do that. So I feel like there has to be a common of shared interests that are quite to your core.
All right, fine. So just so that I understand the climate then, Pronik, you're saying your one would be shared interest.
Mm-hmm. And you're the public have chosen sex.
The answer to the poll, you're looking in a satisfying sexual relationship.
Yes. Because okay. I feel like this generation is too perverted.
Seriously? Your answer would be shared interest.
Yes.
And you're saying the public are also saying shared interest.
Yes, I'll just say that.
Okay, so your answer is shared interest.
But I do like Fatani's
point. Okay. And Fatani,
can I get points for Chisa like in my
No. And Fatani, of course, you're saying your one is shared beliefs, mm-hmm. religious beliefs, and you're saying the public said?
Sex.
Okay, so we have two sex and one shared interest.
Is that your order? Is that your order?
Well, you know, I'm trying to find a way to simplify it in my brain. I'm not going to remember all that. Okie dokie. Well, I can reveal that according to the people involved in this poll, the key to successful marriage, coming out at 66% of the vote, is having shared interests.
Oh.
So, Chisa, I'm giving you 1,000 points.
Who? Oh.
No. Don't find yourself.
I forgot that you guys were all enemies right now.
Okay, So, yes. Chisa got Chisa chose the right answer.
You guys
answer
are
there.
The perverted ones.
No right answer. I guess the right answer to the poll.
Okay, in what order do they
The answer? Second one is satisfying sexual relationship. And 63% of those interviewed said that. The third one is sharing household chores. And 61%.
Hold on. I know I'm not good at maths. But no, I know no. percentages it, are out of 100.
No, they obviously they were given the whole list. So they had to rank.
They were ranking. They were not picking one, they were ranking.
They're not all adding up to 100%. It's a matter of how many
who
people
picked
chose
in that order.
So they're adding up to 600%.
Anyway, it's okay. Just follow.
I'm not following, but it's not that.
No. As in, if you have six results. Options and people can pick as out of all six, then it's not out of 100. It's out of 600.
Okay.
What?
It's basic maths, guys. Continue.
Okay. Anyway, so first was shared interest. Second was sexual relationship. Third was sharing household chores. And fourth, out of the four I've given you,
was
shared religious beliefs with only 44%.
And that's why the divorce rate is very high.
With only 44%.
Because nobody cares about that, to be honest. Nowadays.
Choosing that.
And again, why the divorce rate is very high.
Now, the reason I found that poll interesting, because, of course, it does lead directly into our big question. And I guess the first question to ask is, does it matter? Is finding someone who believes the same thing as you or in the same religion matter when choosing a partner? So that's the first question I want to tackle.
For me, it does, and it did when I was getting married. And it wasn't necessarily... I guess it's differentiating religion from belief. Are those two... I don't know, you can call those two different things or the same thing, but I'll use them interchangeably. For me, it was important to find somebody with the same beliefs as myself. Obviously, that doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything 100%. You still want to find a person that challenges you and challenges some of your understandings and your ideologies, because you're in a relationship to grow all at the same time. But I think beliefs and religion are a lot of the... Especially if you've grown up in that, they do create your foundation and your fundamentals. And if you don't agree on those things, it means that a lot of your fundamentals are out as well. And it could be something really simple as, do you say grace before food? Now, I want to say grace before food, but because my partner doesn't believe in that, he doesn't want to say grace before food. And that's a contention. And then, you know, further down the line, bring kids into the mix. And it's like, well, what are we doing with these kids when it comes to values, beliefs, fundamentals, when two people are rooted in two different things? And that's what causes a lot of pull away, a lot of restraint. And like in the poll, I did mention that that would be my answer, because a lot of those things are directives given in religion. So for example, even things as like being intimate with your partner. For example, the Bible comments on that. How to share responsibilities within a home. The Bible comments on that, just using the Bible because that's my reference point. Obviously, different religious teachings and different religious books also speak on those aspects. What was the last one? Shared interests. That's also something that's spoken about. So, yes, I think if religion matters to you, I wouldn't see why you would then go and find yourself with a person where religion doesn't matter to them, because already you're starting off on two different playing fields, two different planes, and the gap to find equilibrium is already really difficult.
Okay, that's fair enough. Oh, I mean, what if someone would say the difference in religion doesn't really matter as long as there's mutual respect? So the praying, for example, I don't have to want or believe in prayer, but if you want to pray for the food, I'll respect that.
That's absolutely fine, but that's what I was saying. People sometimes don't future think, because that might be well and good when it's just the two of you at the beginning of your relationship, but is that going to be well and good when you've got your family around the table and they want to say grace and he doesn't want to say grace? Is it all well and good when you've got kids, you want to take them to church and he's like, you're not taking my kids to church? Like, it obviously I'm using quite benign examples, but those are the tiny things that do cause a lot of contentions in a lot of homes when it comes to religions not being shared. I'm not saying that people can't find a way to make it work for them. There is always, we always say there's always exceptions. But if you look at the majority where this is the situation, it's not plain sailing. It's not easy sailing. And the people in those relationships will tell you that. And I suppose to the other question is, does religion fix and save marriages? A lot of people in those situations, the religious person is still in the marriage because of their religion. So they are not ready. They don't want to walk away because probably their religion teaches them not to walk away, but it's actually not working. And why is it not working? Because of the religion. So it's like a catch 22.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, one could argue that if they are staying in the marriage because of the religion, one can argue that it hasn't been fixed, you know? So
what do you mean it hasn't been fixed?
The question is asking.
No, hang on. So before we look at the one can argue, let's go back to the initial question.
Right. Okay. So back to the initial question.
I'll pick your brains first, then we'll start later.
Yeah. So back to the initial question. I agree with what Fatana said. Not to an extent. Although I'm adding a little bit extra there. I think it is the easiest if you find someone of the same background, same understanding, same knowledge, same upbringing and things like that. If you fall for them and then, you know, you have a life, like we're saying, that the common goal is the same. And for me, it's if it's done right. So what I mean by that is that if you are actually true believers or true church goers or whatnot, I think that's where it works, you know, because both of you are answering to a higher power. And as long as that exists, you technically, there's not a problem that cannot be solved between the two of you.
But what if your higher powers say contradicting things?
What do you mean say contradicting things?
So you have two religions, both following higher power.
No. So what I'm saying is that
what if their fundamental religious beliefs teach different things?
Yeah. So what I'm saying that initially my response is talking about same background, same religion, same everything. So I haven't introduced someone from a different religion.
Oh, sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah. obviously, because that would be a problem, because then technically your core as the two of you, it's different. So that would bring a problem. So for example, like what she was saying, you know, at my church, we do the star thing, you know, at her church, the cross, sorry. At someone else's church, they put their hands together like this and then they pray. And we're sat at the dinner table. And if that means a lot to me, if that means or makes all the difference, I'm going to want everyone to do that, you know, and vice versa. So my initial response was saying that, yes, that is the easiest, you know, and so on and so forth. I think that is that if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, I think that's the way forward. However, I did say that I think it depends on what we mean by believers, because the problem nowadays is that a lot of us identify so many denominations. I'm a Christian, I'm this, but are not practicing, right? Or are not serious about it. Or most of us cannot even defend our faith. You know, okay, fine, you're a Christian. Tell me what that's about. Oh, I go to church on Sundays. Yeah. And then what? You say, oh, we're going to go to heaven, Jesus can come. It's like there's no depth. There's no understanding of religion. Right. So the problem is that now we are finding ourselves with so-called let's say, believers in marriages or religion in marriages, with marriages that are not working,
it's fine. And then concluding together,
and then concluding that actually, you know, religion doesn't help. But it's not that religion doesn't help. It's just that these two people, not really into religion like they should be, you know. So yeah, I think I'd agree with what Satana said. However, not to say that it wouldn't work otherwise. Mm. Again, I think the point that you made is quite important. I think Fatsan was going on and on the negative note too much, but you can have somebody who's like, you know what? I was not brought up in a religion. I don't really know these things, but I have no problem with it, you know? So in that case, the husband or the wife will go to church. She'll stay at home cooking dinner. Oh, my wife goes to church on Sundays. He comes back home. They have their dinner, whatever they eat, you know? Mm. Children will come by. They'll be like, yeah, it's fine. You can go with your father. Me, leave me with that church thing. You know, me, I'm good. Me, I believe in as long as I'm right with everybody, I'm okay. You know, so that can also work. You know, if you have someone who is like that, I think the only problem comes when you have two people that are strong believers in their thing, mm-hmm. and then they've come together. Then there's a lot of compromising to be had. And often that really never works because essentially it's like, well, I believe this, well, I believe that. But then they want to be together, and then they're fighting basically for the ground of what do we do? Where do the all children go? So on and so forth.
To the question, are you saying it does matter or it doesn't matter or it depends?
So I'm saying that I'm not answering it as in it does matter or doesn't matter. I'm That's saying the that question. the best mm-hmm. is if you are of a similar denomination, religion, understanding, same upbringing, because your core as a two is the same. So you are building from the same foundation, basically. So things are a lot easier.
All that is great. But then what I want to understand is, are you saying it matters or it doesn't matter?
I'm saying it matters. Okay. I'm saying it matters, but I'm adding to say that.
No, it's okay. You're adding that the best is...
No, so I'm adding to say that, there are occasions where it can work.
No, that's fine. I want to figure out where we're at first, and then we'll start layering. So just, I'm interested to hear from you because obviously, because this is a big consideration for you because there may be some people listening who, you know, are already trapped in marriages and or in relationships and they may think, oh, well, it's too late for me now. Mm. But this is a live issue for you. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to hear what you think.
How is it like on the streets?
Ghetto.
I think honestly what Fatsani and Professor Nick have said is pretty much what I would have said as well. It matters. Mm-hmm. I think it does eliminate a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. It's easier to find solutions even in the problems. Without elaborating on mm-hmm. all of that again, it matters, unfortunately.
Is it something you consider?
That's interesting. If you're saying it matters, why are you hesitating with when it comes to... It's an interesting question.
It's because it matters, but it makes finding a life partner that much difficult.
I thought you were going to say difficulter.
No, especially for me, where I'm not even in a church, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I do have my strong beliefs. It makes it difficult to find someone that also might believe in that belief or someone that is adaptable or wants to learn something opposite to what they
know. Open-minded.
Yeah, just to be more open-minded in mm-hmm. that sense. Because now it's like, okay, I know what I believe. Mm-hmm. You believe this. Come to my church. Let's go and be Catholics. And mm-hmm. that's not what I believe. So it's it matters to me, mm-hmm. but it does make my journey a lot more complicated.
So as a result, does it sort of go down on the priority list?
Mm, that's another very good question.
He knows this one, he asked it.
His seat is kind of getting hot.
Just the swamp.
I have found myself kind of wanting to compromise, mm-hmm. I won't lie.
But
it's also very important to me. So it's still on the top of my list.
at what point do you factor that in when you are considering somebody? So do you factor it in, I don't know, practically speaking, one date in? Is it a topic that comes in straight away? Is it a topic that comes in after a couple of dates? Is it a topic that comes in after you've already said, do you want to be boyfriend and girlfriend?
Well, since there's a lot of steps before the boyfriend and girlfriend, back in my days, we jump straight into boyfriend and girlfriend to figure it out.
Figure it out the rest.
If it doesn't work, oh, that was bye. Good.
No, these days, there's stages. It's so hard.
The talking stage.
Hey. The question has been asked. I'm thinking,
because, okay, I would say it's somewhere between, like, the second... Somewhere early on. You don't want to get all these feelings, all these future talks, and you haven't really tackled what is one of the most important things to you. So it would be an early on conversation.
Other than Chisa Pronik, you've been... I don't know why I've become the host. I'm so sorry.
Crack on.
You've been in Chisa's situation more recently,
mm-hmm.
in terms of people on the panel. Was that a consideration? Where was that consideration?
Oh,
whoa.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doing his job.
Really is. Where was that consideration?
I feel sorry for women like in Chisa's position, to be fair with you. Because if you go back to how it's meant to be, which is my approach. As a man, you meet somebody, so you impersonate what you expect. Yeah, so you basically present what you expect. And it's a lot easier for a guy to be able to take a girl and be like, listen, this is the life that I want. Yeah, this is the life that we're going to shape. This is what we're going to live like. This is what we're going to do. Right now, she'll have a bunch of questions. So what about this? So you sit down, you have a discussion, you talk about everything, you know, you answer all the questions, you know. So it's almost like, if I put it like this, it's almost like there's an education kind of phase to the whole talking kind of thing. If we put it spiritually, there's a gospel conversation sort of had. Yeah, mm-hmm. where you can study, you can learn and things like that and whatnot. So
I'm so sorry, I'm so confused.
I'm really in the, please land.
How are you going to be saying that before I even finish the point?
No, we're all confused, but we're waiting for you.
I was just waiting.
Yeah.
So for me, my experience is slightly different. That's always a consideration, but it's not like make or break. It's as you are approaching, that's how you present yourself as a man. Yeah. So basically, you present yourself as a God-fearing man, basically. Yeah. So this is who I am. I'm a God-fearing man. So mm-hmm. for me, the person doesn't have to be on the onset a God-fearing person, but it means that this is the camp that you're coming into. So part of the getting to know each other, part of the get of the talking, part of the everything that we're doing is also part of, let's say, sharing the word or studying the word and things like that.
So what you're saying is shared belief is not a consideration you put on your priority list.
So what I'm saying is that I'm not sitting there waiting to find somebody who is already of that mentality. Yeah. I'm saying that for me, it doesn't matter. But if you're going to end up as a man, if we're going to end up walking side by side, by that stage, that person, they've come from wherever they are to this side now, because we've had those discussions.
So what stage do they need to be walking along?
So he's talking about converting people.
Basically, yeah.
He's saying he's going to convert people.
I'm going to convert people.
That's what you're saying.
You make it sound like you're converting left right center. So essentially what I'm saying is that, and that's what I'm saying, that it's a lot easier for men. Because
how so?
Because women are built and shaped to conform to the man that they meet, for example. It's a lot easier for a woman to change than it is for a man to change. So, for example...
Not even that. I think it would be even if you believe that the man should be the leader of the household.
Yeah, I was literally just about to come to that. Yeah.
So if my belief is saying something and you're believing something else, how can I then?
How do you find? How do I?
Yeah. Let me elaborate.
So I can catch up.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying you think it's easier for men because. Okay, in simple words, why do you believe it's easier for men?
Okay, so in simple words, right, I could take, let's say, a lifetime teaching my wife about biblical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I put it in simple words. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's easier. It works because I'm the head of the house in the first place. Yeah.
But you're only the head of house because of what you believe.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
She may not believe that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, that before she comes to the fact that we are in the household together,
mm-hmm.
that's part of the discussion that I'm taking to her. So it's not a negotiable. Yeah. So it's like this is what I am as a man, and this is what I'm expecting.
Okay. No. Okay.
So hold on. Let me put a comparison.
Yeah. I think so.
Whereas with women, for example, if she takes that lead, it's almost like she's saying that she's basically putting herself in a position where she has to lead this man pretty much maybe for the rest of their life, which will never work.
That's not the question. That's what I'm saying. I think you're answering the question like five steps forward. The simple question was the way Chisa answered it, when you're considering a life partner, where is shared belief on your priorities list? So I'm guessing from your long explanation, your answer is it's not on the priorities list. And then what you said comes after.
I don't know if I can phrase it like that. So let me put it this way. I don't know if I can phrase it like that. Maybe yes.
So what you're saying, let's say you're a Protestant and let's say you meet a
Catholic.
Mormon. No, I want to pick something completely different. And let's say you meet a Mormon girl, right?
Mm.
You're saying the fact that she's Mormon isn't a factor. It isn't an off-put or whatever.
Because he'll change.
If you like the girl, you're going to pursue the relationship. You start talking, whatever. Mm. And what you're saying is because in time, the Mormon will become a Protestant.
Yeah, not in time. By the time we're getting married, yes, the Mormon will become a Protestant. Because, for example, the woman is conforming to the husband, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, or to the man-to-be. So, yes. So there's a process of transformation there.
And that's what is so getting cancelled after this episode.
I'm just listening
as a
it's an interesting point you've brought up to say that perhaps maybe the question is probably heavier on one gender versus the other. That's fair enough. I think that's the point that's coming up from what you're saying. To say the heaviness of the question might be more for females.
I feel like, can I give you an example? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely feel that's the case, and that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, so that's why I was saying that I'm not sure if I can say phrase it like that, but it's a lot less for me to consider because it's like I'm meeting a girl and it's like, listen, this is what I'm presenting. So it's for her to be like, okay, you know what, I'm on board. And if she's on board, I've got now a duty to that girl as biblically speaking, as her head, as her leader, and so on and so forth. Now, I want to give you an example. Hold on.
Hang on. Understand what you're saying.
Yeah, hold on. This might help.
I just want to clarify one thing. So you say she has to say, I'm on board.
Mm.
Yeah? So practically speaking, reward speaking, how long into after meeting this girl is that I'm on board coming?
I don't think you can put a length on it. Okay. I think it's something that you yourself would have to know.
So 2 years in and she's still not on board, but you still really like this girl. Are you carrying on?
No. Again, it depends on your priorities and set of lists. If you are thinking, you know what, I can commit for next 10 years, it's fine. It's up to you. I don't think I can put a phrase to it. What I would say...
So it's that important. So even though you're not answering the question, what I'm hearing is... It's still quite important to you to the point that you would not make a lifelong commitment with someone until you were convinced they were on the same page as you as in terms of 100%,
which is what I've been saying from point one. And you are saying that I'm not answering the question, but I think the correct thing to say that you are not understanding how I'm answering the question.
Okay, apologies.
Because what I'm trying to highlight is to say this, right? That for a guy, it's a lot easier. I'm not going to, fine. She might have to look for a man who is already... of that suited already, someone who is ready to lead her, right? Because she cannot lead him. So she might have to look for someone who is already, let's talk denominations. An SDA, God-fearing man, who is maybe an elder at the church, you know, already does the whole church thing, whatnot. that's what she's looking for, because that's what aligns with her beliefs, right? That's someone who's going to lead her in the home. Whereas I'm a leader in that household. So I can take a woman and say, listen, this is the path we are walking, right? And if she's on board, she doesn't have to know everything from day one or know everything from let's say after 2 years. Essentially, as the Bible says, I'm like now the priest of the home. So I'll spend a lifetime. Sorry?
The Bible doesn't actually say that.
Well, priest of the
home. Men are priests of the home.
Yeah, well, yeah, fair enough. No, it doesn't, yes. But essentially, I'm the elder. Okay, the Bible does
say that. Yes, it doesn't say that.
You're the head.
Head as Christ. As Christ is the head of the church, so is the man the head of the woman. So that's where the analogy is coming from. So that's where
head of the woman or head of the home?
Home, you know, also woman, you know, you can be political if you want. It's the same thing, let's be fair. Yeah. So that's where that teaching comes from. That's what I'm doing. That's where the whole priesthood teaching is being derived from. But okay, fine, we can be correct about it. The example I wanted to give was like that time we had that episode with Jonah Hill, yeah, who was saying that for me, if you're going to be my girlfriend, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, don't hang out with these people, don't go out, don't do that. Yeah, that's what I'm expecting. So that woman coming into the home, into Jonah's life, that's what she knows that she's going to have to uphold to, right? So that means that, you know, Jonah becomes the law now onto her and then leads her for the rest of their lives, you know? So it's not about knowing everything from the get-go.
But I mean, the question didn't imply about knowing everything from the get-go. The question is about religion or beliefs. And obviously, every religion, every belief has a fundamental thing that says, there's a reason why people say I'm a Christian. There's only a few things that you have to say I believe in order to say I'm a Christian. That's not about doctrine or lessons or studies or anything else. It's just the fundamental things to say I'm a Christian, right? So the whole point of her not knowing everything, fine, granted, but I think the question was focused in the early stages, because the question is talking about how important is religion and belief when choosing a partner. So based on what you're saying, as from a man's point of view, based on what you're saying, I'll to be very specific. This is what you're saying.
Don't cancel me on me. He's saying.
So what you're saying is, from a man's point of view, it's of less consideration because they have the power and the authority to convert the woman, or to bring the woman into their understanding.
Yes.
But then if that's the case, then can women
then
say, it doesn't really matter then what religion the man is, because I'm going to be led into whatever religion they are. So, for example, in Jesus, in her dating scenarios.
And this is what Jesus is saying, because her comment was that she would have been married already.
She comes across a Baptist, for example. It's like, that's fine. They have all those qualities. You know, they're a strong man of God. They have their beliefs. They're very, you know, in his search. And then she's going to be like, okay, that's fine. Yeah. I follow the man.
And yeah, that's a fair enough point. And this is why I was saying that it's a lot harder for women like her in her position. That's what I was saying.
So for women like her in her position, what should they, or what are they expected to do? I guess is the question I'm asking you.
That's a very difficult question, because the options are not many. Yeah. Because either they keep looking until God provides someone who is suited for them, someone of that understanding of everything. That for, I mean, I'm not talking about, when I say everything, I'm not talking about perfect, but either they keep looking, keep waiting, or they will compromise. Just, you know, at least he's a Baptist, you know, I will go. Or they do what some have tried to do, which is play the, do basically what I'm saying, but vice versa, you know, try to be like, no, this is the, try to be the teacher and whatnot. And to be fair, I've seen it a couple of times where it was like that. By the end of the process, the man was leading. The man was it's like the man had now grown, got it, grasped it, and the man was quite, you know, one example I'm thinking of that we all know actually, but I think that marriage didn't survive.
To be fair, I was racking my brain.
I was really trying to think of an example
to prove your point.
Seeing as you've already made it this far, you might as well press the like button. You might as well press the subscribe button so you can see all the other material that we're putting out. Put your comments in the comments, because we want to hear what you think. We want to hear if you agree with us or if you disagree with us. No opinion is a bad opinion. Go for it.
Okay, so...
And I think we've obviously put it all in a box and made it quite niche. But I think if we go back to the basics of the question, it's, is there a shared belief? And I think even if you go into denominations, I think if, again, using Christianity, because that's my reference point, I think if two people are saying I'm a Christian, regardless of denomination, if those two people are really serious about what their belief and what their fundamentals are, I think those conversations can be had, and denomination doesn't necessarily matter. I think obviously it makes or breaks based on where people are coming from. So if somebody is a diehard Baptist and it's all about being a Baptist, and I think this is the point Pro Nick was saying, that it's what people understand as religion and belief, because there's a difference between being a Baptist and Christian. There's a difference between being a Seventh-day Adventist and a Christian. There's a difference between being a Roman Catholic and a Christian. Obviously, worldly, those denominations all fall under Christianity. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the actual definition of Christianity, that's not, denominations is not what it is. So I think if two people are coming from two different denominations, let's say, because that's just their upbringing, I was raised in an SDA home, you were raised in a Baptist home, but they come together and the common denominator is, you know what, I believe in God. What do you believe about God? This is what I believe. What do you believe? This is what I believe. Actually, those two things differ. Let's look at the word and see what that topic actually says, and you come to mutual understanding and mutual ground, that does work. But it's already that it's different to say, I believe in God, I fully don't believe in God. That's going to cause, anyone can come to me, that's going to cause issues. And I know Pro Nick gave the example, you know, the dad is saying, oh, I'm not into that, but carry on. Eventually, the cracks begin to show. It might be all lovey-dovey and all dandy at the beginning, but I think I've seen enough relationships in that position where the cracks will show one way or another. And it might even be the cracks in the sense that because of what you believe, people expect a certain thing from you. So, for example, if you're saying, I am a Christian and this is what I believe, you get married to somebody that's not, and now you're going to events by yourself, people are always going to ask, oh, where's your husband? Oh, where's your wife? Because that's what they expect. You're married now. We expect to see the two of you. And that's something that at first it might be, oh, you know, it's just our moment. But after a while, you might find yourself stopping going to those events because that's a difficult question to answer. And before you know it, you're either compromising and then, what's that word? Hate starts to build up because now you can't do... Again, shared interest was one of the things. Mm. Now you can't do the thing that you're interested in because it's not a shared interest with your partner.
Well, it's actually interesting what you said there. I don't necessarily disagree, but an argument can be made and has been made in previous to say that it's actually, it can be better to get with a non-believer than with a believer of a different denominations.
I think that would be easier, yes.
What do you think of that argument? To say that, actually, let's say you're a Christian, for example, if you want to stray outside your fold, it might be better to go with someone who's completely an unbeliever than a different Christian of a different sect. Argument being...
Because
I would agree 100%.
When you have two Christians who believe two different things...
It's a competition.
There's a lot of...
friction.
Yeah, there can be a lot of friction.
And it's friction because Christianity is no longer about... Or denominations are no longer about let's find the word and let's find the truth. It's about which one is right and which one is going to heaven. So now you've entered a war of, oh no, my denomination is better than yours, we are the chosen. Oh no, mine is just better than yours, we're the chosen, we're the ones going to heaven. Oh, you're not going to heaven. So I think it can be a more acrimonious situation.
To be fair with you, I'm thinking if you're in a relationship with someone at all early onset, that should be their honeymoon phase. Or you just recently got married and already you're having those kind of arguments. Oh, well, I feel like you've made a mistake then.
You're not in the early... No,
no, no. We're not talking about early stages
in
now.
In the marriage.
You see, now we've moved on.
Yeah, they're
and
not
you've
in
got
the
early stages. When we're talking early stages, you're talking something.
No, that's what I was hearing. Because from what she said, which I didn't disagree too much of, she basically took it from step one, basically, and then... rocked with it, you know, to show the potential things that can arise throughout their lifetime, you know. An argument can be made that, yeah, that's potentially they can arise, but, you know, they may also not arise. You know, I think it would depend on the dynamics of the family, right? Especially if you are marrying someone, it's easier when someone has turned believer whilst you're already married, right? I feel like it's new ground for both of you. And definitely there will be a lot of expectations on the one that has maybe newly turned convert, or maybe they are going to change something in a family home, and the one that's new convert is like, well, we've always done this. So I feel like it can be a bit more troublesome like that, mm-hmm. than if you are marrying each other from the onset of different faiths, because it means that you met like that. It means that you've dated like that. It means that you've had these conversations. Assuming the heads are screwed on.
Yeah, but then living with someone, it's different, because although you've had all those dates, when you live with them 24/7, that's when the little nitty picky.
When you have to merge the lives. Well,
that's when it's like, oh, I don't like it when you do that.
And what if one of them, or the men, or the man came in thinking, you know, the fundamentals are okay. In time, I'll bring her over to my fold.
Again, then...
Which was the point you were making?
No, the point I was making is that you wouldn't end up marrying before the bringing to the fold has happened. So it's not, I'll bring her back to my fold in time. Mm-hmm. No, you would, that wouldn't happen, because what if you don't? Because, I used words like molding, shaping and stuff like that, but still, this is a whole different human being. Mm-hmm. They do have free choice, freedom of whatever, So at the end of the day, you know, ideally, you hope it go one way, but what if, you know, after, let's say, the discussions and whatnot, the studies, like, I just don't believe there's God in heaven. You see what I mean? So you wouldn't do it without that, you know? But the point, what I wanted to say, the point I jumped in on, you've made it slip my mind now.
The baby?
Yeah.
The baby.
Because I was saying that it's like it's a newborn baby. The fact mm-hmm. that they don't believe in anything, or you get to kind of grow with them. So I understand the point of it's better to date outside of religion. Oh,
but then that's the same.
So that wasn't coming from an idea of... No. The point, the argument I made wasn't coming from idea of I'll convert them in time.
Mm-hmm.
It was to say...
There's less friction.
They will remain an unbeliever. Mm-hmm. I will remain a believer. And we'll just try to make our lives work.
Some people are saying that they would rather date.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. To say that, but then the reason they're saying that mm-hmm. is not to say because they don't believe anything and therefore they'll start believing what I believe.
Oh, okay.
It's just to say they don't believe anything. Therefore there is no opposing beliefs to deal with.
Oh, okay. Mm. I understand.
Is the argument, which is not a great argument, but is the argument.
Mm.
I think my point has come back. Yeah. Damn it.
So no, it hasn't.
No, I think it has. Because it was on that. It was on that point you were talking about it's better to date than non-believer, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I was saying that the thing is, basically what I was saying, that it's different to someone turned convert already in the marriage versus someone that you've already been dating. Because again, I don't know how we view this dating phase. I don't know if we are seeing, let's say, a month and then you're married, but some of these people can be in these relationships for like maybe 5-6 years, mm-hmm. right? And they are, unfortunately nowadays, there is such a thing as multi-faith gatherings as well that people go to, mm-hmm. you know? I'm not saying it's the best way to live, but God, our marriages and relationships surviving on multi-faith premises and one believer and non-believer in modern times, they are, you know, they can't survive, you see.
But it's surviving success, because the question is
there are, okay, let me rephrase that then. Are marriages successful in the modern days with multi-faith people in the relationship? Yes, they are, you know. In fact, I was quite shocked to find that there are multi-faith centers you can go to actually register your wedding, to actually get married. So it's not like a church of specific denomination. It's like a place that people who have different beliefs come to have their marriage blessed and so on and so forth. You know, that caters all things. So they are happening. So I think that was my point.
Both disobey.
So my point is that it doesn't necessarily mean doom, you know, because it's like, you know where you are. From the onset, you know each other's pages. So even the problems that we're saying can arise and so on and so forth, you know, I believe that yes, they can, or they may also not. It's going to be 50-50. It's just like marrying somebody and then the conversation we're usually having, you know, some stuff coming up. I feel like in that situation, it's just a normal relationship now, you know. It can go right or it can go wrong, you know, based on normal marital problems that happen after people have been married for quite some time, you know, versus converting after someone is already married. I feel like that definitely causes a lot more problems. And also, two different denominations, that can also cause a lot of problems.
Okay. Well, I do have some stats in regards to that. We're going to touch on those. Ooh, yeah. But in terms of the denominations, or not the religions, rather, so Christian, Muslim, Jews, et cetera, et cetera, what religion do you think marries the most within their own religion?
Muslim. Muslim all day long.
Jews.
Ooh. Jason?
Are they even on the board? And I don't know, like a special sect in heaven somewhere. Are they even considered?
Well, I'd say Christian still, because everyone is saying that they're Christian, although.
Ooh, that's a fair point.
But then last week we were talking about how we're no longer even a Christian country because not many people identify as that.
That's very, very true as well. But I anyway, still, well, a Mr. lot of people Mr. still say Christians.
Break
our hearts. All right, fine. Well, I like that. Three different answers. I'll give 500 points to Pronik.
Yeah. How could you guys not even guess? Come on, it's Muslims. Sorry.
Well, I got 1,000 points.
Yes, so.
I would like to take away Pronik's points.
Wait, you can't take away points.
The statistics are there.
For being a sore loser.
How?
No, this is you. That's you being a sore loser.
I say you denied. Got petition.
I'm
denying the petition. That's another valid reason. Okay.
I'd like to take away your points.
Yes, the religion that marries the most within their own religion is Islam, Muslim. Now, which one marries the least within their own religion?
Christianity.
Those ones.
Who you say?
Those ones. Christians.
And you?
Yeah. Well, Christians. That's
how can
Christians.
You just said they were the most.
Yes.
Now you're saying they're the least.
Yes. I think they're the most confused. So 100%. They're the most flexible to do whatever. Yeah.
Well, fair enough. Interesting.
It's going to be Jews, isn't it?
That would be a shocker. I'm not going to lie.
No, it is actually Christians. Christians are the ones most likely to marry outside their religion. However, what's interesting is that they've done research, and when it comes to households and especially kids, and I want to see what you guys think about this, how much of an issue this is, if it is an issue at all. Because they're saying that kids who come from a multi-faith household are more likely to just not care about religion at all, or to be unaffiliated. So when they are asked, like, okay, what, you know, are you religious? What do you believe? Whatever, they're like, you know, they're just a bit blasé. Versus, of course, children that come from a religious household or of the same thing, I think their numbers are like 50-60% of them will be that religion and whatever that is. So then when we look at, I guess, the children, the generations and what's to come, how much is this interfaith marriages thing an issue?
If we are hoping for a society of believers, it's a big issue. I'm not surprised that basically children from interfaith marriages are coming out not believing anything at all. Because despite everything that I might have said in the second note of my arguments, with the first note me being agreeing, is that you're not presenting a united front. And already that's a problem in this whole family unity thing.
No, no, but they are presenting a united front. A united front that respects each other's beliefs. You do you, I'll do me.
We're talking in the context of belief.
We'll celebrate both Hanukkah and Christmas.
Yeah, but we're talking in the context of belief. Because, and I think this is the problem as well, a bigger problem maybe for another conversation when we're talking about religion, like what I'm always saying, religion, denominations and things like that. Because let's take Muslims for example. There isn't a lot of wiggle room in Muslim.
Islam,
sorry. There isn't a lot of wiggle room in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's what I would say, hardcore, strict, not in a bad way, by the way. I'm not talking about the extremists. I just mean as a religion, they know what they believe and they know how they want their children to turn up. They know how their women how they want their women to believe and to behave. They know how they want their men to behave, you know. they are not really confused. In fact, they pride themselves in the fact that the Quran hasn't been changed. It's still in its original languages for so many centuries and so on and so forth. So if you are looking for a society that believes in your chosen religion, that's the best way to go about it. Mm. So a multi-faith household practically tells the child that mom believes in this, dad believes in this. Now they are both bringing their arguments, and the child and this is like, hey, okay, you know what? Allow it. It's fine. Leave it. Mm. Whereas if it's one core, you are pretty much indoctrinating the child, again, in a positive way, because I know that that's used, you know, in negatively, but you're basically bring up a child in the way of the Lord, therefore they shall not depart when they grow old. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're doing as a household. When the mom is there, it's all about Bible this, God this, da, da, da. When the dad is there, same thing. You know, you can ask the mom a question, you can ask the dad a question, the answer is going to be more or less the same. And that's what it should be. Mm-hmm. So for me, these multi-faith families, in the context of a society that still believes in God, that still has strong religious values, you know, that still has morals, they're basically annihilating that. They're danger. What do you call them? Weed. They're the poison. Mm-hmm. They're poisoning basically the society that we would want to have.
Hi everyone, thank you very much for joining us here at Offbeat POV. I hope you are enjoying the conversation so far. Please don't forget to like, follow and subscribe, and also drop a comment in the comment box. Let us know what you think.
Okay, well, I did have some stats for you guys. Mm-hmm. And so the stats do show that actually Muslim women are amongst the happiest reported women mm-hmm. in terms of when it comes to marriages. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, like most people would do, think, oh no, you know, they're oppressed and they're, you know, whatever,
because
marriages.
Because they don't understand.
But the research did actually take those factors into account, and they said no. The reports, I think about 95% of the women that were interviewed, the reason they're saying they're satisfied and they're happy in their marriages is not from oppression or religious, what do they call it, religious restriction or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It is simply them reporting that they're happy in their marriages. The least reported
Christians. I think they should just get rid of Christianity. I don't think it's a religion anymore.
They're not doing very good. Yeah.
They should just wipe it off.
Reset.
Actually, it's Christians. Actually, it's Christians. But what's
I think we can attest to that. Look at the family units and the marriages that we know. If we were to line them all up here,
and be like, how many of them are actually happy?
And do our own research. Unfortunately, as sad as it is to say, it would show that the majority are not functioning.
Yeah. That'd be down to like cultural issues, though, isn't it? One could argue, because
it's a Pandora's box.
A lot of, especially the ones that we know, because obviously we know a certain group of people. But then if you go back in the history, a lot of their stories started the same. A lot of their marriages started the same. It's the same story in terms of how they ended up getting together or whatnot. It's not that Western narrative of you see someone, you fall deeply in love with them, and then you decide to marry them. Even though that has its own issues, but that's a conversation for a different day. So what I really did find interesting, though, is, and I'm going to read it verbatim because I like that it was put verbatim. It says, people in relationship with someone of a different faith experienced poorer psychological well-being than people in relationship with someone of a similar faith.
Mm.
And in terms of multi-faith marriages, I think the success rate is 26% or so. Now, of course, all these stats are
high enough.
Did you say
high enough?
Now, all these stats can be called into question, because one could argue, oh no, they broke up, but it wasn't because of the religion. It was, I don't know, maybe
other
because
factors.
It was other factors. So all the stats can be called into question, but it's interesting when you do ask those questions specifically related to religion, and then you look at the stats. You know, an argument can be made to say there is a correlation. But of course, Who knows? Who knows? To be honest with you, I think it's I don't know why you would want to get yourself involved with someone of a different belief in the first place. I think it's different if you met them and they're different and then you started talking and then you could see that, you know, you are aligning in beliefs, you know. I think that's different. I think I agree with Pronik in that there is room for growth and change and evolving, and being exposed to a different understanding can show you that maybe your understanding is lacking. Or, oh, you know what, I never knew, blah, blah, blah. There's room for that. I agree. However, I don't think your method of I'm a man, therefore I can lead a woman into, I think that's a terrible mentality.
I mean, you're making it sound bad. It was just to express.
No.
It's not sound bad.
On the ground. You're making it sound like on the ground.
Practically,
the
man do you think it actually works? There.
No, come on.
Because the biggest issue I find with that is that what you're speaking from a Christian perspective. Mm. So your idea of relationship is a Christian perspective and Christian influences, etc. And that only works if you have a woman who thinks likewise. If you have a woman who does not think like that, it is a mountain, very hard to get them to think
Do you think that mentality would work with a hardcore feminist, even if they were a Christian?
I mean,
like diehard feminist.
I would have to go into
embodies the values of feminism.
I would have to have a conversation about that because
a feminist will stop. Will probably take issue with that.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. I would have to take away Christianity from that question and say feminist. And my answer would be most likely maybe not.
No. We're talking about a Christian
feminist. No. The reason I'm saying that is because I feel like those two things contradict each other. Because
how so?
If you are claiming to be a Christian, mm-hmm. already there are certain, in that statement alone, there are certain things that you're saying that you adhere to. So you're basically saying, I'm a Christian woman. Yeah?
Yeah, but the problem is an anti-feminism.
It's not pro-feminism either.
How so?
Yeah? So how so? For example...
So you're saying the Bible doesn't advocate for women?
In what sense advocate? Because remember, we're talking about in relationship context here.
Yeah, even in relationships, yeah? You're saying so the Bible doesn't advocate for women.
The picture that the Bible paints when it comes to relationship, we're talking about marriages, is wife submit unto your husband, and husband love your wives. Yeah.
So why is that not advocating for women?
I would have to ask you, in what sense, what do you mean by advocating for women?
No, because...
No, hang on. Because you said the Bible isn't pro-feminism. So you explain
in the one that I understand. So for example, again, maybe I'd have to ask, what do you mean by feminism?
No, you said this,
which is why I said you explain your statement. Because
I mean,
you know,
don't forget, I uttered the statement after she uttered it first. So I jumped on that.
Well, what
so but then my so but then my definition of feminism, I would have to go from what women are talking about now. Yeah, in again, women can do what men can do. We can do it all. Yeah, we don't need men. Basically, yeah. Women can be women just like men. Women can be just like men, basically, yeah. I would say the Bible doesn't teach that. I would say the Bible teaches that women have got a role to play and men have got a role to play. And both sexes need to stay in their lane. You need to stick in their lane. You don't take over someone else's lane. It doesn't work. So if a woman is coming to me, if we are having a certain conversation, again, this is let's say maybe roles in the household.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the Bible doesn't necessarily say that men should go to work and women should cook or vice versa or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it does talk about, you know, roles in the household. So we know
what?
I just mean as in that the fact that so for example, women tend to look after children and raise them up. They bring forth children and they raise them up, motherhood, breastfeeding and so on and so forth.
Is that prescribed in the Bible?
I mean, yes, I would say yes, because most those that had children in the Bible were looking after the children. So for example, how many apostles do you get that were women out there preaching? You know, the answer is most likely none, right? But does that mean that women were not there active in the early churches doing other stuff and so on and so forth? It does, yeah. So the point we can go and do the nuances of it. I would have to flip open my Bible because obviously it's not all in my head. But my point is trying to say that there are specific gender roles and we all have to stick to them.
As prescribed by the Bible.
as prescribed by the Bible. Yes, I would say so. Yes.
Tune in next week when we talk about Christianity and feminism.
So the reason I'm saying that is because the minute you bring in that feminist language, mm-hmm. we need to go into that. What do you mean? Because it's not everything you're gonna say feminist is gonna be bad. Yeah. So I'm not saying that I'm disagreeing with everything, but then what do you mean? So we need to align that with Christianity, right? So that's where that point is coming from.
How did you even get to the feminism thing?
She just asked.
No, because you were talking about his version is converting.
Yeah, so she asked do I think that would work with a diehard feminist?
And feminism in the context of how what we understand a feminist to be in this day and age. So
you see,
a colloquial feminist.
Forget feminism. I don't think that would work with 90% of grown women.
Yeah. See, so that's the thing. So that's fair enough. So that then presents a bigger issue than what we're talking about. So now we're looking at the women. Okay, we're talking about relationships in a religious context.
Mm-hmm.
So are the women in the society religious women? Are they Christian women by definition? You know, because we're expecting men to be God fearing, expecting mm-hmm. men to be prayerful, men to be to lead by good example, to love their wives.
Mm-hmm.
Are the women that we are then going to find like that? Because and that's why I said that the feminist thing wouldn't work. Because already for me, that tells me that most likely this person isn't a Christian in that definition.
But then your example,
unfortunately,
what do you mean?
I haven't got time to argue and pick apart because we have to bring it to an end. No, that's what I mean. We have to bring it to an end. Mm-hmm. But I think you have raised a very interesting conversation in terms of Christianity and feminism, because mm-hmm. I think sometimes Christians are so lazy to just say, "Oh, the Bible is against feminism." A, not understanding what feminism actually is,
mm-hmm.
and B, not actually understanding what the Bible says about those mm-hmm. topics that affect feminism and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying the Bible is pro anti-feminism. I just think a lot of Christians jump there because the Bible is very conservative. It's very
to the point.
Yeah, conservative. I guess it's very conservative in its mm-hmm. approach to men and women. But I think a lot of Christians jump the gun and just say, "Oh yeah, no, it's not feminist."
Which is why I say it will depend on how you're defining
exactly.
that. Because women in the Bible are not oppressed.
Of course, we would have to unpack that, which is why
you don't have any women being oppressed or having their rights being taken away, or you can't do this, you don't have that.
It does say the women shouldn't speak.
Again, that's not oppression.
A woman could argue it is. Why are you telling me I can't speak?
In time and place.
That didn't say that.
We're unpacking it.
It does say
in a congregation, so on and so forth, you know, let them ask at home. So it does say time and place.
Mm-hmm. Okie dokie. Anyway, ladies and gents, the point, I guess there's no point, but it was an interesting discussion because I wanted to make an overriding statement, but obviously that's not the point. The point was, I don't know why the question came to mind, but I thought it very interesting because, of course, people like Chisa and other young ladies who, I guess, have grown up in the faith are finding themselves in the situations, and guys as well, to be
in
fair.
The jungle.
Because it's a climate where you're exposed to so many people, you meet so many people. If you're at uni, if you're at events, if you're at work, you meet so many people from all different walks of life. And it's like, well, if Emma is a great girl, why can I not? You know, what's the issue? She's great. She's a great human being. You know, and I think these are conversations that a lot of young people are having to deal with. And even older people, let's be fair, people in their 20s, 30s, even 40s, you know, they're like, well, if they're a really good person, why does it matter that they don't believe in God? But on the surface, they're really good. They're kind, they're polite, they're romantic, whatever. Does it really matter that they don't believe in God?
I think if you're asking yourself that question, that just goes to question your faith in God.
Well, no, it's not about that. But
how important is it for you?
It's like what Jesus said. It's like she acknowledges it's an important factor, but she also acknowledges that it makes it
the
really
barriers
difficult.
That it creates.
It makes it really difficult to actually find someone. So it's a conversation
like
that
raised too high.
It's an internal conversation that you. I think most believers who are out here
fair enough,
have probably questioned at one point or another.
Yeah, because there was even a time I was talking to someone and she was like, you know what? I'm not taking my husband with me to heaven. So he's got his own journey with God. I have my own journey. We all have our own journeys with God. So it doesn't matter who you... That was like their point of it. It's just... So And I'm not gonna lie, at that point, at that time, it made sense.
Okay. She was convinced.
Jesus, like, so that's the solution. When you put it true. Like that.
See, and that's why no, I was saying that it's a lot harder.
No, it definitely is hard. But if you had asked me, I would say sometimes when things are murky, keep them simple. Mm. Keep them very simple. Mm-hmm. And yes, I acknowledge it's harder. The bar is raised a lot harder. But, you know, it's better. It takes a little bit longer than you end up in a interesting situation in marriages. Because I'm telling you, you spend 24/7 with the person you're married to.
You find them praying all the time. Why are you praying?
Okay, okay.
The dishes need cleaning.
Ladies,
and you're out here praying.
Gents, I want to thank you very much for tuning in to Offbeat POV today. Find us in all the usual places, etc., etc., etc. Any last words?
No.
Have faith. God is still alive. Miracles are still happening. Your person will be sent to you.